This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
What we do is not wrong with that rejoin. WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park, but we are transitioning to a little football talk here with our favorite guest. We had to bump him on Friday as we all bitched about the Red Sox, but Mike Giardi was at Patriots season ticket holder practice on Friday. He's been there all weekend, so the best phone interview talking football in the business, Mike Giardi.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Michael, how we doing?
I'm still recovering from being bumped. Still recovering, you know. It was a hurtful thing that you did there, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this interview goes today.
We wanted you to get to practice earlier and be able to take in all the sights and sounds, and we really didn't need, like, another voice bitching about the Red Sox. So that's true.
And Andy's been big on making friends the last couple of days, so that's also a
right I've noticed that. Yeah, I've noticed that.
All right. let's start with something a little serious before we get into just the football stuff. You know, I've had my questions about Terrell Williams and his status, and from what I saw on Twitter today, he unfortunately may have passed out, was carted off. What do we know about Terrell Williams, his health, and his status from today?
They're saying it was dehydration and that he's fine. So we'll have to take him at their word on that. Obviously, he's had a tough, 4 or 5 months here from a physical standpoint, not being able to be with the team during the spring sessions because of whatever the medical thing that popped up was that kept him in Detroit. And now this. So, I mean, it's certainly something that bears watching. I know the guys talk about him. They're thrilled to have him around. He brings a good energy, at least in the meeting rooms. It's hard to see on the field because he's not moving very much on the field. He doesn't move very well to begin with. And he's off to the side calling plays, but sort of almost removed from the group a little bit.
Mike, I don't ever want to be accused of leading the witness, so I'm going to ask you a very simple, open-ended question. How do you feel about the Patriots' offensive line right now?
So, look, I'm not where you were, where you got yelled at last week by Tom Curran.
Yeah, wrong-headedness, he said. Wrong-headedness, that was bullying.
Yes, it was bullying, and I've been on that side of it, too, with him. But I will say that there are a lot of questions and concerns. I mean, you're getting excited about the idea of having, you know, what Jared Wilson has done is ascending into the starting lineup as a rookie at left guard. And then you realize you're playing him next to a rookie left tackle. Generally in the NFL, from a history perspective, teams don't do this by choice. Now, is this the hey, these guys are worth it, and you're going to look back on it and go, unbelievable, this is awesome, this couldn't have worked out any better? I mean, that's your hope. But in general, I don't think that was the master plan to say, hey, let's put two rookies side by side and see what happens.
How about that rookie left tackle? Have you seen growth day over day? Where would you say he is at since the beginning of camp?
So I would say he's been better in team periods than he has been in one-on-ones. But then, you know, I say better. So I think he's an above-average run blocker already. I think you see the skills, the athletic skills, the movement, his feet, his power. Which again, some people think he's a guard down the line, and maybe you're starting to see some of that stuff when it comes to blocking. When it comes to pass blocking, it's a mixed bag. You know, he got beat today by Keon White down in the red zone in 11-on-11, and then other times held his own. I think generally when you look at the history of the league, guys don't really step in at left tackle and be awesome right away. I mean, there are obviously examples of them, of guys doing that, but in general, it's a position that you have to grow. And I think he's going to be, obviously, never mind the physical things that we talked about from way back in, you know, January and February, but there's other parts of the game that he's going to be challenged as well. And we'll see how he responds to that.
A lot of people wrote about and talked about the interceptions from Drake May on Friday night in the practice because he had previously not thrown any. That is not what jumped out to me in terms of turnovers. It was a fumble. It was Ramondre Stevenson. And I'm wondering, is that a guy that should be worried about his roster spot? If he's picking up where he left off a year ago, putting the ball on the ground, isn't that bad for job security?
So it's definitely not good for job security. And he talked about it today with us and said, essentially, I know that, you know, like that this can't happen and that, you know, hopefully I'm getting the mistake out of my system now and that I have a clean slate when it comes to the regular season. But he has the last 2 years has not been their best back. You know, it was Antonio Gibson last year, pretty much for the entirety of the second half of the year, was the better running back. And people kind of forget the year before, Ezekiel Elliott was actually the better running back, you know, especially in the second half of the year as well. So to me, I think there's a lot of talent there. I love the way he runs, the physical nature in which he runs. But if he's not going to be able to hang on to the football, you drafted Trevion Henderson in the second round, and Gibson has proved that, like, he can handle a decent workload. So, yeah, I would say, there's a little bit of pressure on him to make sure that that goes away. That said, Andy, I'm still in favor of keeping all three. Like, I just think injuries happen at that position. So, I know they could save some money or whatever. But, like, who cares? Like, he's still one of your best 53. Figure it out.
Just to clarify, too, Andy, when you asked the class to name surprise cuts a couple weeks ago, who was your pick?
I believe it was Ramondre Stevenson, okay, and I believe the picture I painted was, let's just say he puts the ball on the ground in, say, joint practices or preseason game. I didn't know he would do it in just a scrimmage soon, but yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Just making sure that you were validating your pick there with that question.
Genius walks alone.
Absolutely, as it always does.
Oh, boy.
To stick on the offense, also coming out of the scrimmage on Friday, the apparent injury to Kendrick Bourne. I know Mike Vrabel saying that we're probably not going to see him much this week. How much does his potential just lack of availability complicate an already pretty complicated wide receiver decision?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thinking that at this point prior to the injury on Friday that he was probably the on the outside looking in. And it's not because of anything that he's done or hasn't done. I just think you know what he is. And then when you start to go look at the numbers, I mean, I think you have four locks, right? Diggs, Douglas, Hollins, and Kyle Williams. I think those guys are put them down on the book. I think Kayshon Boutte has proven that he belongs on the team again. Maybe. But more likely, you keep six and try to slide an Efton Chisholm or even a Javon Baker, who had a pretty nice day today, to the practice squad. And we all get all nervous about, oh, they'll never make it through waivers. Like 95% of the guys make it through waivers. It doesn't happen very often where someone gets claimed off waivers. And you'd be talking about someone in Baker who had one catch last year, was a fourth-round pick and had been taken off, you know, people's boards because of character concerns. And, you know, Chisholm wasn't on too many people's radar, certainly didn't get drafted. So then I just kind of look at Bourne and think, like, could I see Kendrick Bourne being traded back to San Francisco for a late-round pick as they go through some wide receiver stuff there? Yeah, I could totally see that.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. I wasn't there, Mike. We were here at Fenway Park watching a great baseball game, and I know there was some unique scoring system where Stretch was giving out points for various things, but the quarterback of the New England Patriots, one of the things that I hear about him all offseason, sooner or later he's got to start winning games. He couldn't win games last year. How did he lose a scrimmage to Dobbs? Like, is that a bad sign? Is that a bad way to start the year? The first time they did anything closely competitive, he lost.
I would just be more concerned about just the overall level at which he performed. And, you know, they were mixing and matching. So, you know, he had the left side of the offensive line, but the right side was on the other team. And, you know, the different pieces being played at wide receiver with him. But, like, there was one series where he had three throwaways. And, you know, we don't have the luxury of looking back at the practice tape. We don't get that. You're only looking at it live. And you're like, well, could he have, was there somebody open? He didn't see him. You know, I guess you take the throwing it away and say, well, at least he didn't throw an interception. Well, he did that twice anyways. One was, I thought, you know, a slightly errant pass. By the way, I apologize for the lawn service next to my house here making all kinds of noise. one was an errant pass, kind of threw it behind Stephon Diggs. Kobe Minor was able to get his hands on it and then was picked off by Robert Spillane. And then sort of the miscommunication with Kyle Williams on the outside to basically end the practice on what would have been a pick six, but Austin Wisely slid down at the 2-yard line because, you know, they were sort of playing into the game and you would have been able to run out the clock there. So, you know, Vrabel talked about that today and said, hey, if the cornerback is flat-footed, it's a yes or no. You're either not throwing it or you're telling, you know, you're looking at Kyle and Kyle's got to go by him. And they didn't have that sort of communication there, and you hope they can learn from it. But I just, it was a little rough to see, a little shaky at times. You could see some hesitation in this game. And I don't think there's been a ton of that this camp. But when it does show up, then his footwork gets a little wonky sometimes, and the release gets a little wonky sometimes. It's like that's the moment when some of the things that we talked about a lot last year going into the year kind of pop up for him.
Kind of off of that, in your opinion, because you've seen good quarterbacks, you've seen Mac Jones, like you've kind of seen the gamut in terms of quarterbacks with the Patriots. Is Drake being challenged enough? Are they asking enough of Drake where you think he is getting better day after day in this camp?
I do think they're challenging him. I do think I think it's been a good camp, not a great camp. I mean, some people will tell you it's like an A-plus camp. I'm probably more in the B-minus camp, but when you consider learning a new offense for the fourth time in 4 years, you know, learning a whole different language here, you know, assimilating new pieces into the offense in terms of the receiver position. Like, I've been pretty pleased with it, and I think they are too. I think one of the things that's interesting is if you guys, you know, I don't love the Forged in Foxborough and all these things that they release, but every time they release a clip where Vrabel's talking to May, Vrabel's always telling May, like, go talk to your guys, like, go over there. So he's like, there's like a continued pushing him in terms of being a leader and sort of interacting with his teammates. So you start to wonder, is that something that just doesn't necessarily come naturally to him? And does he just want to lead by example and play? And, you know, clearly that position requires more. So I think that's something to keep kind of watching as we go forward.
Something that might help Drake May's leadership is, I don't know, number one wide receiver named Terry McLaurin, who could be coming to town with the Washington Commanders. Any chance that he stays in town? Give me the breakdown on what are the chances that Terry McLaurin could get traded to the Patriots.
I put it at 0.0.
You suck.
I don't see how. I don't see how in the hell. Like, I get it. They're at odds here. He wants what DK Metcalf got. They look at the Courtland Sutton deal, which, by the way, McLaurin's people had to hate last week, and say, no, you guys are the same age. Like, that's more of the reasonable 4-92 versus 5-150 and 60-something guaranteed. But I think at the end of the day, this is all posturing, and that Washington will look at their situation and say, we have a really good quarterback on a rookie contract, and yes, this might hurt us 3 years down the line. We might have dead money for Terry McLaurin, or Terry McLaurin becomes a 30-catch guy in 2028. But for 2025 and 26, like, you got to have him on the roster. So I just don't – it's like the Parsons thing. I just don't see how it ends up happening. I just – there's too much value there for the player with the team. They'll figure it out.
Oh, okay. So I was going to represent the Ted Johnson delegate for defensive excellence. Would you also put Micah Parsons at 0.0?
So look, Parsons is awesome, but you're talking about, look at the Khalil Mack deal from, was that 18 or 19? 2 ones, a 3, and a 6. I think they got a future second back, but like, that's real, real draft capital. Then you got to turn around and give him 4 and 160, 4 and 170, and most of that's going to be guaranteed. Like, yeah, he's awesome. I just, that's a lot to give up. And then to pay him basically like he's a quarterback. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense for where this team is right now. You know, you could actually make the argument that McLaurin would be the more valuable piece for where they are in their build than Parsons is. I think your defenses should be pretty good. They don't have a Micah Parsons, I get, but like when you start talking about the assets you have to give up, it's almost like I'll take my chances in the draft that I can find a guy like that, and you know, in the mid first round, just like the Cowboys did.
Before we let you go, we crowdsourced this one from the Twitch chat. What's the weakest link on this football team in your eyes after whatever it is, 2 weeks of training camp?
It's still the offensive line. I don't
know. Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
No, I know. I just don't know. Well, I'm not going to compare it to DeMontre Jacobs and Vidarian Lowe. Although,
no, it's three rookies
guys.
Starting. You want three rookies starting? A left tackle who should be a guard who should be a center, and a right tackle who shouldn't be playing? That sounds better to me. Talk about it.
Hmm. I don't know where you get your third. Where do you get your third rookie? You start Marcus Bryant?
Reading all you guys, Marcus Bryant, who I never even heard of until last week,
yeah.
Is getting reps out there.
Well, here's what they're doing. Right, but here's what they're doing right now. They're trying to figure out who can be the swing tackle. If it's, you know, Vidarian Lowe came back today, so it was his first day back. He's probably the odds-on favorite to be your swing tackle because he has played some right and obviously played last year as your starting left tackle. Mm. But, like, I think they're just looking at him, Jack Conley, the undrafted free agent out of BC, Bryant, and even Jacobs, and saying, exactly. But you're saying, can one of you guys do both? Because if you can, then you probably carve yourself a spot on the roster. If you can't, then you're probably practice squad or, you know, see you later.
Okay, well, you did agree that the weakest link on the team is the offensive line. Nice hit, Mike Giardi. Even though you didn't agree with me on everything, we'll still have you back in the future. Thanks for joining us. That's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. We'll talk to you next week, Mike.
See you, boys.
See ya. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to react to a couple things he said. And he was a bit of a wet blanket, I'm not going to lie. There was a little negativity. And
not everybody's as optimistic as you.
Well, I did note that, you know, he was acknowledging, some people are telling you it's an A. I'm kind of a B- or a C. And there was a B- C tone to a lot of his answers.
Yes.
So we'll touch on some of that tone from Mike Giardi next here on WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.